Well, I get to do the welcome, although I think you've been thoroughly welcomed. This is just an amazing, amazing place. I had the privilege of driving up the coast, and I kept thinking, God, why don't I do this more often? Just get out and see your beauty. It was just amazing, and I was fortunate not to have traffic around me, and kept thinking, am I really going in the right direction? It was wonderful. It was wonderful. So,
just when you touch the podium, I know, I'm going to just move it.
Move it back. Okay. Well, it's really a privilege for me to start out your Grace Bible Church at Bakersfield 2014 retreat. I understand you've doubled in size. And not only the church, but I mean the attendance here. It's great. This is just incredible. And I want to thank the ladies, the team that has put all this together. I used to work on a women's ministry team, and I don't like doing this upfront thing. I like being, you know, back there doing all the little details and everything. So I know how much goes into it, and you gals have done an incredible job. Those little packets of everything was just absolutely everything that I forgot. So thank you. Thank you very much. I hope you've all had a safe travel and you got settled in your room a little bit, got to meet your roommates. I haven't met mine yet. I know her, but I haven't seen her yet. Where she is. That you're able to just kind of sit back now and relax. I know you single gals, you probably had to turn over responsibilities and things at work, and you're hoping that they do the right jobs and whatnot. Moms and wives, you're thinking, did I leave enough clean clothes, enough food in the house? I didn't. I told my son he needed to go to the grocery store. You're almost out of toilet paper. I'm not going before I leave. And you older ladies like me, I hope you did a better job of packing. I left my thyroid pills and my energy pills at home. So if you see me dragging the next couple of days, just give me a kick. Just how it is, just how it goes. So now is the time to please just sit back, let all that, you know, kind of go in the back of your mind, and just be open to whatever the Lord has personally for you in the next couple of days. I hope that you have come expecting to be refreshed, and I hope that you are open to the unexpected that the Lord might have for you. I've gone to a few retreats thinking, oh, yeah, I know what God's going to have for me because I know exactly where my sins are and what he's going to, you know, set me through. And he has a whole other deal in store for me. So just be open to whatever he has for you. If you'd please just join me in prayer for a moment. Most High and Holy God, we come before you acknowledging that you are sovereign, you are our creator, you are our Savior. You are our indweller. Father, please fill us where we're empty. Please warm the places of our hearts that have become cold. Please refresh us where we're stale. Please open our understanding to where it's closed. And Father, give us humility where we just simply are closed to it. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I had the privilege of the last few months just camping in the book of Philippians, which has been a favorite of mine for years, but it's really been fun to go back to it. So I will be going back over all night long a few different verses, and it is so exciting to see how the verse that you've chosen for the retreat all through the book of Philippians reinforces different things that are included in that book. I want to read to you, first of all, Philippians 1, 3 through 7. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident, I'm persuaded, of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart. I have to say, borrowing those verses from Paul, that's really how I feel about you guys. It was a while back that I was first introduced to Grace Bible Church. My husband works in the ministry. You've heard that Grace Advance at church, and he and your pastor Steve had been talking, and they saying, "Oh, it'd be really nice if you guys could come up and see what's going on and whatnot." And so Michael said to me, "I'd like you to go up on a Sunday morning." And he said, "What do you think about next Sunday?" And I said, submissive, you know, wife. I said, "No, thanks." I had had two incredibly busy weeks, and I was so looking forward to Sunday being my kind of day of regrouping. Well, fortunately, he didn't give me an option. So we drove up with Mark and Erica MacArthur, and both of us gals sat in the back seat going, "I didn't really want to come. I came because my husband said I had to come." So we confessed that to each other. But we had no idea what God had in store for us, and we're so thankful that we went along with our husbands. I have to say, both of us absolutely fell in love with the believers at your church immediately. The warmth and sincerity was so genuine. The preaching was superb. The size of the church to me was really refreshing. I grew up in a small Midwest country church. That's where I was saved. That's where I ministered as a teenager. But all of my adult life, really, I've been in a large congregation. And I tend to think that that's God's sense of humor. And it's also his sense of wisdom for me. A couple more visits to your church. We got to witness a baptism at the indoor pool facility there. Sat in on FOF classes and Sunday school classes. And it just continued my love and appreciation for the group of believers that was in Bakersfield. I thought Bakersfield was just this weird little place that was, you know, up there. And I love it. It is a down-home country place. I love it. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe the Lord will land us there sometime. Okay, so now I lost place. I will go off my notes, so you're going to have to be patient to get me back here. So like Paul writing to the Philippians in Philippians 1:9, he says, "This I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in the real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent." And that's really what I've been praying for you gals. Just because I'm not in your fellowship and close to you doesn't mean that I can't continually pray for you as the Lord brings you to my mind. A few months back, I realized that I had become very dry and lethargic in my relationship with the Lord. In a prior job that I held, I had to really heavily depend upon the Lord daily. I had worked at the school. I retired, and I thought, "Oh, this is great. I love retirement." I went into my eye doctor. I had eye surgery, and I went in, and they talked me into working in their office to train me as a vision therapist. I had no medical background. I knew nothing about how your eyes worked or how they didn't work together as a team. And it also turned out that my boss and his wife were Jewish. So I really felt like I was over my head, but Michael thought it was a great idea that I kept working, seeing he's home and retired. So I have to say, I camped in Philippians 4:4 and following. And it's, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind." My little trek to work, at the certain intersection of the street, I would recite that prayer, those verses over and over and over for 3 years, because I felt so inadequate. I started working with patients, and it was like, "Oh my gosh, God, what are you doing? Why am I doing this?" And yet, I had an opportunity to witness to the boss's wife, and her oldest son is named Joshua, and my oldest is Joshua. And she asked me why I would name him Joshua. I'm going off my notes here, so I'm going to get lost. Anyway, I said, oh, because, you know, when he was a preemie and born early, and I said, I kind of kept going over and over the story of Joshua and how he wanted, in the verse, Joshua 1:9, how to be strong and courageous. And she looked at me and she goes, well, you're supposed to be a Christian. How come you know stuff of the Old Testament? And I said, you're Jewish, and I absolutely love everything of the Old Testament, and I love the Jewish people. And I had about a 15-minute time period that she and I were in the office together talking, and that was it. That was the only time that I had an opportunity to share everything. I don't know where that'll ever go in eternity, but I walked away that day feeling like, oh, maybe I know why God has me here in this job. So anyway, God was faithful. Anyway, I was saying that I had hit this dry spot. So after 3 years in this job, my daughter announced that she was going to have a baby and asked if I would leave my job and become a nanny. She has her own accounting firm and needed to keep the business afloat. And so I found myself taking care of this precious little McKinley May. And I thought, boy, this is pretty natural. I had raised three kids on my own. I had homeschooled. I'd worked for 12 years in an elementary school as a teacher's aide and a substitute teacher. And I did really great for about 4 months, running her household, running my household. But then all of a sudden I noticed how much I was lacking in my time with the Lord. And I had really just let the disciplines of faith kind of go to the wayside. I remember praying to God that he would put me back on track and that he would put a desire back into my heart just to be with him. Well, right about at that time, I got a call from Kathy, and she was wondering if I would speak at a women's retreat in November from their church. And after talking to her, I think I said, I'll think about it and get back to you. I recognized that it was God's answer to my prayer. That I knew I couldn't stand up here and talk to you ladies if I wasn't walking a worthy walk. And so it was a great opportunity for me to get back on track with the Lord, back in his word, and the joy was to land back in Philippians. So that's how I got here. Okay? So now we're going to do part two. If you're taking notes, I've got lots of little references that you can jot down. Might not be enough space there, you might have to use the back side of the paper, but I'd like to offer to you seven reasons that you have found yourself here. Why you signed up, why you really made the effort to come with everything that was going on in your life, or what you might benefit from coming to this retreat. So I took the letters from the word retreat, R-E-T-R-E-A-T, and added some of my thoughts, but mostly God's scripture to it. So I give you something to ponder over the next couple of days, and I trust and I pray that you'll be blessed from God and that you'll walk away Saturday afternoon different from when you came tonight. In a group this size, it wouldn't surprise me if somebody here is not a believer in Jesus Christ. And if you're not, I hope that you would find God. I hope that you would settle your future and your present life with him. There's lots of great ladies that you can ask questions to. I'm sure Betty, in the course of the weekend, would gladly be open to talk to you. I know that there's women here who are far more spiritually appraised than me, and so I would really ask you not to hear my words, but that you would really hear God's words. So, okay, let's start. Retreat. I put with R, restoration. In what area of your life do you really feel that you might need to be restored? Psalms 23, 1 through 3 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. I'm going to borrow the words from an author, Terry Blackstock, one of my mentors years ago. She's passed on now and is in heaven with the Lord. Gave me this little book, and this one portion I just want to read to you because it's better than what I could say. Okay, am I on the right page? I am. He restores my soul. And he does, of course, in such a merciful way. God has restored my soul when it's been beaten down, bruised by my careless actions and terrible choices. He has restored my soul when I've allowed it to run on empty. And he's restored it when I filled it up with things that I have never, when it was never meant to hold. He has restored my soul when others have crushed it. He has restored it when there seemed to be no hope for restoration. I couldn't help wondering what my life would look like if I had not allowed that restoration. What if I had pushed God away when he reached down for me like a daddy reaching down to a toddler? What if I had not reached up to him, allowing him to lift me up? What if I had not laid my head on his shoulder? Where would I be if I had to take the punishment I deserve for my sins that I committed? And what if I'd have to walk through life without his perfect, self-sacrificing love? What if I'd have to face the future eternity, with only hopelessness and fear? Thank you, God, for Jesus Christ, who loved me so much that he took the punishment for me, cleansed me, and restored my soul. So that's the kickoff of Psalms 23, 1 through 3. Also, Psalms 51, 12 says, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit." We all have needs to be restored, and that "sustain me with a willing spirit" is a real confirmation of service. Okay, so the letter E, I put examine. How often do you examine Scripture on your own? Acts 17:11, where Paul is talking about the Berean church, the example of the early believers was that they received the word with great eagerness, examining the Scripture daily to see whether the things were so. So please don't take this weekend simply the words from me or from Betty, but make sure that you examine them yourself and ask God to confirm his truth to you. Philippians 1:10, I think I kind of read a little bit of that, says, "So that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ." That word approve means to examine, compare, or to distinguish between things. T is teachable. Am I teachable? Do I willingly want to listen to God and ask what he wants for me to know? We were in youth ministry for, I don't know, it felt like eternity. 13 years, I think. And one of our fun things with the staff, youth ministry is a kick. In working with the staff, we always said to them, you have to be fat, you have to be faithful, you have to be available, and you have to be teachable. And when you're discipling your students, you want them to be fat, you want them to be faithful, available, and teachable. Psalms 27:11 says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes." So there's that worthy walk that we're going to be talking about all weekend long, a level path. And also one of my favorite psalms, Psalms 25, 4 through 10. "Make me know thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. For thee I wait all day. Remember, O Lord, thy compassion and thy loving kindness, for they have been from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to thy loving kindness, remember thou me. For thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in justice, and he teaches the humble his ways. All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies." Okay, letter R is remain. Are you a Christian? Do you have a Christian faith for the long haul? Does that mean no matter what your circumstances are that you're going to remain in the faith? Galatians 2:5 says, so that the truth of the gospel might remain in you. Colossians 1:23, continue in the faith, firmly established, steadfast, not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Why? Why should we remain in the faith? 2 Peter 1:3 says, His divine power, God's divine power, has granted to us everything, everything pertaining to life and godliness. So, why remain? Because it benefits us and it gives God glory. E, expect. Do you consciously think that you do not want to be put to shame before God? Philippians 1:20 says, according, this is Paul writing, according to my earnest expectation and hope that I shall not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ shall even now as always be exalted in my body. Paul had within himself that earnest expectation that his life would exalt Christ always. It really mattered to him how his daily conduct was. He was aware that his body was a temple of the Holy Spirit. The letter A. Am I going too fast, too slow? You're all asleep. Okay. Okay, acceptable. Do you find yourself right with God? That is, are you in good standing? Psalms 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my rock and my salvation. I lost my place. Okay. The Aramaic word there for the acceptable is favorable or goodwill. Then in Romans 12:1, Paul stated that he had presented his body as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable. The word there means well-pleasing to God, which is his spiritual service of worship. Okay, the last letter, T. We made it. T is thankful. The list could be endless, ladies, of the things that we have to be thankful for. I just chose three. Thankful for our salvation, thankful for Jesus Christ, and for the victory that he gives us. Romans 6:17 and 18 says, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. It's talking about Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I encourage you tonight, maybe even before you close your eyes and go to sleep, that you go over some of these verses that maybe the Lord has put on your heart and let God impart to your soul what he really wants for you. Okay, we're moving into the last part three of that, of your little outline. So those seven words which we cover have to do with our conduct. Conduct. Kind of got stuck in the back of my throat. Which slides us right into your key verse that you've chosen for the weekend. Philippians 1:27. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I may hear that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Our conduct, the way we live, the way we think, is to have integrity. One of my favorite quotes from Oswald Chambers is this. I sent this to my son when he was in college. "It is a great thing to see physical courage, a greater still to see moral courage, but the greatest to see of all is spiritual courage. Oh, to see a person who will stand true to the integrity of Jesus Christ, no matter what he or she goes through." Throughout Scripture, you will find various places where the concept of being worthy is. The worthy walk, the special places, is Ephesians 4:1, Colossians 1:10, and 1 Thessalonians 2:12. There's many. I mean, throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's constant talking about our conduct and our walk with the Lord. I like to think of walking as advancing, that you're walking forward. For so long, I thought that the gospel... Oh, I skipped a line here. So what are we worthy of? It says right here that we are to have a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. For so long, I thought the term the gospel just had to do with salvation. Matter of fact, I have it imprinted on the back of my Bible, Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But I'm finding that the gospel is for the believers also. And this has been such a great, refreshing concept to me. Where I was all these years, I don't know. Paul writes that the believers to the believers in Rome that he's anxious to preach the gospel to them. Now, they're already believers, but he's anxious to preach the gospel to them. To the Corinthian Christians, he restates the facts of the gospel. The book of Ephesians, the first three chapters, 1, 2, and 3, is all gospel. Colossians, the first two chapters, is gospel. Romans 1 through chapter 11 is all gospel. And the remainder chapters of those books are all showing the believer how to apply the gospel to your life. I just want to share with you a book. It's called The Gospel Primer. Some of you may have it. If you're like me, it's been on your shelf for a lot of years, and you maybe read it and you maybe didn't. I am just so thankful that God used Milton Vincent is the author. At a time in my life when I really just needed to find a treasure. Not only are his concepts right, but what I love about the book is that he tells you something, and then here he gives you the scripture written out. I'm great at reading a book, and whatever scripture's in the parentheses, yeah, I look at it and go on. But I don't go into my Bible and read the whole thing. Therefore, it doesn't stick in my head. Not much sticks in my head, but this has just been incredible because I can read it and then read God's word right down there. And I'm finding now as I'm going back over it that I'm just reading the scriptures instead of, you know, what he's outlined. So wrapping up this verse, and I know Betty's going to do an incredible dissecting of it in the next sessions. "So that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Now, I kind of want to borrow from Paul's words there. I don't know if I'll ever have an opportunity again to come and fellowship with you guys here or at your church in Bakersfield, but I do know that I probably will hear a report. My husband and Steve talk occasionally, and it's fascinating to see how the body of believers intersect at different times. My husband and Betty went to school together, we're not even going to say how many years ago, back in the Jesus People movement times. It was, wasn't it? That's drug hippie people. So I'm certain that I will hear a report sometime. Ladies, I want you to know, and I know you're all aware of it, we're facing uncertain times in our homes, our cities, nations, the world. It's nothing new under the sun. The early church believers were being thrown to the lions. We're hearing about our fellow believers over the seas who are getting beheaded and raped and sold into slavery because of their faith. It's foreign to us, isn't it? I mean, we hear it, we read about it, we're moved by it, but it's not our next door experience. But it could be. And so I would encourage you that this is the time right now that we have to strengthen our walk, to really be committed, to really examine our conduct, our advancement in our faith. And the main thing is to stay in the Word. That's the only way we're going to be able to be equipped for the circumstances that we're going to face. We've covered a lot in a short time, a lot of scripture, and I trust that God will touch your hearts through His Word. So just a really quick review. I hope that each one of you have really felt welcome, that you really find a special place here amongst this fellowship of women. I hope that you find out why you personally attended the retreat this weekend. And I hope that you walk worthy and advance your life with Christ. So in closing, let's pray. Thank you, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for allowing us these few minutes to be in your Word, to just do a little thumbnail sketch, Lord, of the importance of the reasons that you walked us together here for this weekend. Father, we're grateful for your love and your care. We do ask that you would take care of those at home that are taking care of whatever fires are burning, whatever little heads are being cut open. Almighty God, you knew before the foundation of the earth that you would put our names in the book of life if we put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would allow us to feel your presence. Thank you for joining us, Lord. Because of your Word, we know that you're here with us. Father, I just would ask that you would impart your truth, impart your love, and that you would wrap your arms around our hearts and keep us faithful and remaining in the days ahead, Lord, to find ourselves worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for the salvation that you freely offer to us with the great love that you displayed on the cross. But you didn't stay there, Lord. You 3 days later rose from the grave and victorious over death, of which you also have promised that you will give to us. We thank you in Jesus' precious name.